On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are crushing some half-liter steins of Metro Brewing as we talk about the closing of Five Rabbit, the opening of the Pittsburgh District Brew Yards, and a whole lot more as we get a little derailed. All that more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork pop out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick Wade.
And we talked about it last week in our steins and our Oktoberfest. But we're going to ease into it. We're going to go half steins and some Helles.
I like it, man. They're so cute, man. Dimple steins. So half liter, that's what we're doing?
We half steins? Half liter. So right about, on. What, 16 ounces is a half liter? Mm. And then we're drinking the Metro Stormhouse Helles Lager.
Tis cheers, the season, man. Yeah. Cheers, man.
I feel like mugs and steins are like, you just got to like go for it, right? Cheers.
You get in there, man. I love a nice half stein, especially after reading that was like, what? This is a beer and a half, 12 ounce cans, beer and a half.
Yeah, beer and a half, 16 ounce.
Yeah. Full size is
three.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, because two of these is three. That's a lot of, it's a lot to throw in there.
How was the good folks at Metro? How was Metro when you
right? Went? So I decided to stop in there and pick this up right before the show. I really wanted Afterburner because I was like, we're talking Oktoberfest. They're out of October. They're out of the Afterburner because it's been gone for months, she said. But I went in there. It is incredibly nice to walk into this space now. It used to be Murder Hallway.
Very unfinished situation.
It is all finished now.
Okay, nice. Because it was like all under construction, kind of just those weird temporary lamps everywhere hanging by wires.
Now it's a nice pathway. There's a boat rental company that has like a booth out there.
Okay.
So you still have to like walk down the hallway, but then I was able to walk right into the tap room and they have tables set up for all the different kinds of beer and merch. And so you just kind of grab what you want. And they said, if you want something cold, just let them know. They'll grab it out of the cooler. So that's what I did. I got Stormhouse, and then I got their Dortmunder as well. So, but didn't get that cold.
Right on. In the pre-show, I'm like, oh, look, it's their lager. And Brad's like, well, they're all lagers. It's Metro. Everything's a lager.
I think the closest thing, don't they have a Pilsner, which is sort of...
Which is, you know, still...
Yeah. Still lager, but it crosses that ale.
Yeah, the robot's sitting pretty on here. Metropolitan. Fantastic logo. One of my favorite logos, I think, in the city. They said Randy Moser helped them with this logo.
That's right, yeah.
Randy Moser was also on the Forbidden Root project.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Which is still, I'm sure, going strong, I guess.
Yeah, they got another location in Ohio or whatever.
Oh, they do? I didn't know that.
He was on the relaunch of the Berghoff. This was had to be like 5 years ago now.
That's right.
Yeah,
Randy. And he was he's an investor in Revolution too, right?
Oh wow, that
I feel like he is. Maybe I'm making this up. Maybe I'm making lots of things up today already.
But spots like Goose, Rev, and Haymarket, they do have a ton of investors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
The Metro, man, this Stormhouse, I feel like I've had it at the tap room before. I've never picked it up in cans. Since COVID happened, you know, Metro moved into cans, which probably a smart move, easier to pick up, easier to ship, get to the people faster. And it just makes me think going into Metro last year, it wasn't around this time, but it was earlier, they had that big party, their 10-year party.
That was a fun time. That was a winter joint, right in January or something. Yeah.
So they'd be coming up on, this will be coming up on their 12th year. And if they make it through COVID and everything, there's no stop. Like, Metro is, I feel like they're just a staple of Chicago beer now.
I mean, everywhere that pilsners and lagers go, they sell, you know, so.
I saw that they had our coffee.
Oh, the Nitro. The,
Not the Heliotopper is a beer, but wasn't that one. The Coffee's Wickle?
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, the Coffee's Wickle they had on tap. And I was looking at their menu. I was like, do they do, like, can I get a growler of that?
No, oh, man. That's a fantastic beer, Brad.
I know.
Man.
That beer, yeah. So I wanted a beer of that when I was in there because I saw it, but gotta not drink it anywhere yet. Drink it at home and drink it at the studio. And now I got Stein, so.
I got a feeling crawlers are coming soon because Kansas, this is Kansas, is a new thing for them. So I imagine we can get crawlers of that. I'm hopeful.
Right, because they do growlers, but not of that.
Oh, they do growlers?
Yeah, because you can get growlers of some of the other stuff. But man, I'm digging this. It's kind of, I don't know, it's like perfect for today. It's like kind of that in-between warm weather day. It just kind of quenches your thirst. I don't know, it's just a solid beer.
Exactly. A showcase for Pilsner malt and noble hops. Yeah.
All right, so, yeah. See some of the Metro stuff, pick it up, go there, get it from the tap room. I think each six-pack runs like $10, so good deals. That was like my only beer-buying adventure. If you're just listening to audio, Nick is not taking a bathroom break. that was my only beer buying adventure this past week. Man, what about you? You pick up anything?
What did I pick up, man? I don't know if I picked up anything, man.
Just drinking Blantons?
Just drinking Blantons. I had Oktoberfest from Burn City.
Okay.
That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no beer. I think Oren is out.
Right.
So Oren is in two packs for $15. I think aged in brandy barrels and whiskey barrels. Okay. An Imperial Strong Ale. So I'm looking forward to picking that up this week.
Okay. I think I still have some of last year's Oren.
Really?
Too.
Oren's one of my favorites, man. It's, it's the closest thing to like just a straight up barrel aged beer, I want to say, because Big Hugs is a coffee stout, and then the base Benthic is like a coconut and coffee thing. So
like Oren over Benthic?
Well, I'm trying to think. Oh, it's the closest expression to just straight up like barrel aged dark beer, right? I'm trying to think of what the other one is. I mean, I'd give the nod to Benthic if we're just if I got to pick.
Someone's
gotta...
like, here, which one do you want?
Oh, I'm gonna probably go Benthic.
Okay,
Benthic's the only one where I get like a year's worth of it. Whatever the enchilada, the whole enchilada.
You're on it.
I've never
two enchiladas.
I never got the whole enchilada of fucking
Big Hugs.
Oren. Or Hugs.
Oh, you can get an enchilada of Oren too? No, they're just too.
Maybe that's why I haven't got. Yeah. But you brought the Thai iced tea one.
Because I have the glasses. I should go over there and pick some up.
Yeah.
Too,
so.
Yeah, the glasses.
I know there's different
pictures.
Right. I know there's different versions. Not sure how many. Definitely not enchilada worthy. Right. If there's only two, because those other ones have like at least four.
Right. I think last year there was three. There was two variants and the normal. So this year there's only one. There's normal and a variant.
Well, shit. There are two more, and you can make it an enchilada.
But yeah, you gotta come out with the past flavors, past offerings.
I'm excited about that, but that's coming up, so I haven't picked anything up yet.
But that beer is great, but the price point is like kind of.
It's stiff.
When I went in there to get it, it's like, oh man, do I really want to spend $20 for two beers?
Yeah, that's about it. They're charging like what it would be like a, what do you call it? Like if you were at the bar.
Right.
Plus tip. That's kind of what they're doing.
And I feel like
which kind of makes sense for them, I guess.
It makes sense. And that's definitely a trend that's not going to go away because why not just charge more for this beer that people obviously want anyway?
And you got to be competitive. They say all the time they got to be competitive with, they can't undercut their retail partners. Okay, so.
Right.
even if you're buying a six-pack or a bomb or whatever, is going to be relatively the same as if you went to the Jewel across the street. Same price anyway.
I think Gary Valentine talked to us about that one time, about how someone like Off Color can't have cheaper beer than you would get at Whole Foods.
Yeah, which is a little different.
It would be cheaper. They're making more money. More money's going to Off Color if you were to buy Off Color beer at Off Color versus Whole Foods, which is next door.
Exactly. That was part of the reason why you would go to, if you're out by Three Floyds, you'd get all the stuff there because everything's $10 there and it's like $15 at fucking Eataly. Mm-hmm. Right. But yeah, I guess those days are gone. But Half Acre, I did try the Half Acre Lager Town this week because I was in a lager state of mind. We were talking about Steins last week. And Oktoberfest from Burn City and Half Acre. Both really fantastic choices.
Should we go Lagertown for our leaders?
I mean, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of effortless.
We work our way up. We go half stein this week, whole stein next week.
You know.
All right.
So, yeah, that was fun. I saw that Off Color is bringing Scurry back. Scurry is a seasonal now.
Oh, that's their gone?
Yeah, it's Kost Butter. I think that's what it's a German dark honey ale.
Oh, I thought you like a Kost Butter.
But I'm probably
I don't know that term, Nick. Kost Butter.
But I'm butchering the name of the style, but it's like Kotzbusser or something.
Yeah,
two T's, two S's. But it's a German dark honey ale. And that was one of their original beers. It was a year round.
And they called it that. And then
people are like, what the fuck is that?
It's a Kost Butter.
And then they're like, it's a dark honey ale. Okay, fine. You know, just buy it. That's coming out at Aqua Predator. Their dry hopped Saison is coming out. So, two Chicago staples, man. Half Acre, fucking Off Color.
I know. Metro.
Metro, you know?
Going back to a lot of classics lately, I feel like that's what maybe happened in the beginning of the pandemic. People went back to like comfort foods and things they can trust and felt safe. And now I'm starting to do that with beer too, where I don't necessarily want the newest thing. I want the thing I don't want to see go away and the thing I can trust. I can trust every can of Metro is going to be good. You can trust every beer from Off Color is going to be great. And Half Acre too. So, new stuff coming out from like a staple. I did see Haymarket has seltzer.
Really?
Coming out. Which is kind of surprising because Pete Crowley kind of poo pooed the hazy.
His response to hazy was a beer called
Hazy is Lazy. And they're coming out with, I think, a couple flavors of seltzer. I would have done hazy beer over seltzer if I was in their situation, I guess. But I don't know what, I guess maybe for the Michigan market, seltzer might be a little better.
They're in packaging, so, I mean, maybe that's why it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But of the breweries that have been around for, what, 5, 10 years, right? Of the breweries that have been around for 10 years.
It's probably been their 10-year anniversary. This, like, crisp, because they opened Christmas Eve, right? Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised that that's the route they're taking. Because Haymarket, it's the last place you think about. Or just trendy beers in general, right? You go there, it's all about double IPAs, Belgians, fucking stouts. Barrel-aged stouts. Delicious barrel-aged stouts.
Right. And great Belgian beers that American Belgian beers that are great. But I don't know. I don't ever crave them. Crave like a Helles or a smoked Helles or something like that over a Belgian IPA.
Belgian Pale. Yeah.
They're good. Not to...
Right. Angry Birds was nice. I think Angry Birds was one of those beers where I think it was named after, at Rock Bottom, it was called The Crow and the Sparrow. Pete Crowley and Jeff Sparrow was the other guy. And they couldn't take the name. And then they're like, well, we're kind of curmudgeons anyway, so we'll just call the same beer, call it Angry Birds.
And then they can't package that because of
Because
copyright stuff.
Yeah. But Angry Birds was one of the beers I would get all the time. just because it was a cool story. But then 8% Belgo IPA, I was into it. But yeah, but other than that, I didn't really stray too far off into the Belgians. I was like, give me Matthias or give me fucking Indignant or Defender or something.
Or Claire's Red Ale.
Or Claire's, yeah. Claire's Thirsty.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. I want to try them. I have friends that, you know, they dropped off their Oktoberfest. Their Oktoberfest is really good.
Oh, the Hamburger one?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was nice. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued to try it.
Yeah.
But seltzers and kombuchas are not something I'm always drinking.
Yeah. I would expect them to go booch over a seltzer, you know,
yeah,
if I was betting. But I saw that Lake Effects had a seltzer run recently too.
It must be hella easy to make a seltzer, right?
Yeah.
I think it's gotta be. Not that the people doing it are like lazy about it or that, you know, there's no work to it, but it must be easier than doing like a kombucha.
Then you can turn it around.
Or a cider or something like that.
Well, I think,
right?
Bobby the Booch was saying that the biggest difference between seltzer and kombucha was, well, obviously the live active ingredient,
right,
the SCOBY. But then also, I think it's either green tea or black tea, right? And I think June kombucha was the black tea.
Okay.
And it was black tea and like honey versus like green tea and sugar or something like that. Those are the two kombucha differences.
Yeah.
But I think he was saying like seltzer is not that odd. I think seltzer is just
liquor.
Yeah.
Right? It's like liquor.
Seltzer is just Everclear. And I don't know. I forget what the fuck seltzer is. And I asked him this so I could remember. And I still forgot. I remember what kombucha is now, but I still don't know what seltzer is.
Yeah. I think of. I don't know. It's almost like adding food coloring to, like, you make a thing and then you add the flavor. Like, that's what I think of hard seltzer a lot of time. Where it's like,
is it? There's got to be so you're just dumping sugar and fermenting the sugar? You're putting sugar water and then, like, letting yeast?
We obviously know nothing about
it. I know dick about seltzer. Yeah. I know when I'm riding my bike, I see, if I see a pack of bros, they all got a case of Truly.
Horrible. They're probably a white collar Truly, right? Truly's picking up steam.
See, she Truly a lot. Mm-hmm. You're in the store, somebody's got Truly.
Man. Usually, yeah, the ladies have the white collar cases and the dudes have these Truly cases. It's weird.
And the pony bottles of Fireball. I see this now. A pony, I'm married looking for something, and this guy cashes out with like a six pack. Of pony bottles of Fireball.
How big is a pony?
You know, the pony bottle's like airplane bottle.
Airplane size,
yeah.
That's a pony bottle?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's that, like a couple ounces? Maybe 2.5?
Is that an ounce? It might be an ounce, right?
It's got to be two. Maybe it's got to be two, right? I'd say 2.5.
Oh, yeah. Ounce is small, so maybe
yeah.
It's two. Yeah.
Six pack of those.
It's like it's like a double shot.
So, yeah.
When you get it on an airplane. Okay.
And, yeah.
Fireball is so gross. I don't... I can get behind seltzer. I get it. I like it from time to time. Fireball. What, are you drinking that and then just washing? You're washing down with seltzer. Like, just dump some whiskey in your seltzer.
Only time I've seen grown men just get sick and vomit on the brew bus. Industry grown men was fucking Fireball. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know why you guys brought this shit. Side note about Fireball, it's the same crew that makes Buffalo Trace and Blends.
Oh, really?
The top-selling thing they make is Fireball. So when you talk to these retailers, they all tell you that fucking the distro's making them buy a ton of this Wheatley Vodka. That's the brewmaster's name or the master distiller's name. Wheatley Vodka and Fireball. And if you don't buy that, you got no chance at getting...
You can't get Fireball.
You can't get the cool whiskeys.
Oh.
You have to buy Fireball.
Oh, yeah.
You got to buy Fireball. You got to buy this vodka.
I thought it would go the other way. Yeah. You have to get this cool whiskey if you want this other stupid shit.
No, it's the opposite. You got to buy this Fireball. We're pushing Fireball on you. You have to buy this, and then we'll give you the cool whiskey.
Why hasn't someone else come out with another Fireball?
I think Jack tried to come out with something called, you know, Fire Jack or something, and I think they said you need to fall back.
Oh,
fire is our thing. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to sound like a spitball or something.
Yeah, it's like a cinnamon liqueur. We are way off, but now we're way off now.
That's what happens, and then you get like give me a half liter here, and you just kind of ramble on.
I forgot where we were going with that.
I don't know. We were talking about new releases coming out.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. So, yeah. We talked about those. What else? We talked about...
We had some openings and closings. Let's go closings first.
Okay.
Nick is rocking this 5-rack Cerveza, our friends that made Cinco Tupelo.
Cinco Tupelo. Yeah. So... Five Rabbit down in Bedford Park, which is near Midway, like
where the Fire used to play.
Yeah,
but this would have been their first season at Soldier Field.
Yeah, yeah.
Sergio, our buddy Sergio, had season tickets.
It'd have been on and cracking at Soldier Field. That'd have been fun. They still got that one little ass TV at Soldier Field. Like, there's a very small TV at Soldier Field.
Whoa.
I mean, a monitor. It's a, you know. Like the big screen.
Oh, like the Jumbotron?
The Jumbotron, but it's not very jumbo at all. Like, for the size of the field, it's just super small.
No, there's the big screen on the...
There's a big one?
One side of the end zone. like, the side. Like, well, if we're talking soccer, there's no end zone, right? So it's like one side. There's a big screen.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, this would have been our first season up there.
Because we saw the Mexico versus USA soccer game.
And I tell you, man, Five Rabbit, another Randy Mosher project.
Oh, yeah.
Randy Mosher, Chicago, very important voice in Chicago. I say in all of craft beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think his book, Tasting Beer, it's right here on the table. Yeah. It's pretty much required reading for anybody that wants to get a beer at this point. Nice. I think literally if you want a Cicerone, you think you literally have to read that book. Yeah. But I think they talked about getting a place in Pilsen initially, but then they balked at the place because it was too small.
Okay.
So they ended up in Bedford Park.
Right. And then they had sort of a, was this before or after this falling out? I feel like we're going back to like Finch's.
This is the very, very beginning of Five Rabbit.
Right. And then, very beginning. Then they had like a brother falling out.
Yeah.
In the Bedford Park location.
Yeah. So they hit the scene as contract brewers. They brewed at Argus, actually. There was no other space in the city. They brewed at Argus. They won a bronze medal for their passion fruit, Five Lizard. It was their take on a Hefeweizen.
Okay.
But it was passion fruit Hefeweizen. Bronze medal out the gate. And then they announced, hey, we're opening this place in fucking Bedford Park.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, like, we go big or go home. And in 2013, 2014, that made sense.
Right.
That was the right play because everyone was outgrowing their facilities.
And you've been to that space, right?
Yeah. There was they used to do Craft Brewer Guild monthly meetings out there.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we took the brew bus out there a few times.
All right, and I've been once, and I was so pissed because I didn't know how to get inside.
It's annoying. It's in like an industrial park.
Well, there's also no sign that's like enter here.
Also that.
So
yeah.
I had to wait. I saw someone leave, and then I was like, oh, I guess I go in this door.
Yeah.
I almost left without going in.
It's tough. You can't walk. You're right. You can't walk in the front doors.
Yeah,
it's like the side. It's like some side action.
But then they have food there, or they have someone making tacos, or whatever they have.
And yeah,
they're great tacos. They also.
They also. Brad's not gonna let these tacos get by without commentary on them, right? He's gonna let you know.
Romania tacos, but. and then they also have like a few other things going on. They have live music they had live music all the time.
Yeah.
They also did some like. I want to say like Radler margarita kind of things with their beer too.
Like paletas.
Yeah.
It was like inspired by the little frozen popsicle things.
They had the flavors. They were supposed to come out with a big series of every flavor.
That's what we were missing this summer. Paletas. Did you get a paletas? I didn't get a paletas. I'd have had that.
The beer or the actual?
The well, both, but the beer. The beer. I didn't see any paletas.
No, I didn't.
I'd have got some. I'd have got a 4-pack of paletas.
They switched them to cans, which I liked them in bottles because they were in the clear bottles and they were like pink and orange. And
that kind of reminds you of the Jaritos, the Mexican sodas.
Yeah.
They just look cool in this bottle.
That's what I think worked in the bottles. When they moved to cans, they were just tall boy cans with sticker labels.
It's another thing in a can.
Yeah. It wasn't that great.
But yeah, you're right.
They're closing, or they're
well. I think the official word is they are restructuring. And part of the restructure is they're selling all their equipment and moving out of that location and eyeing a smaller location. I think that's the official stance.
So they're selling all of their equipment and then they're going to buy new equipment?
This is like a reboot. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And they're going to focus on retail, whatever that means. Well, they were a production plant, so I guess that's what that means. Like, but shit, so what does that mean? You're not producing anything anymore? Are you just going to brew somewhere else? And then just we don't have to worry about the actual owning of the brewing stuff?
Like, yeah, you admit, why don't you just go to Great Central? You started as a contract brewery, then just go to the contract brewery to make your stuff that you already have deals with places. Keep it going, right?
You know, an interesting development, I didn't know about this, that actually half of everything that Hot Butcher makes comes out of that facility, the Fire Rabbit facility.
Oh, what are they going to do?
Right, I didn't know that.
They're going to go to Great Central.
Right. Right. Or you could do what, remember Lake Zurich Brewing? They hosted Phase 3 for a little bit, and Phase 3 ended up buying them and just took over the place, which opened recently.
There's no way Hot Butcher would buy. Oh, I mean, that's a huge space.
If I'm in the market for, and I, if I'm in the market, like it's a car. if I'm running low on IPAs at the fridge, I mean, Hot Butcher's on the short list if it's around. If I'm at the store and there's a Hot Butcher option, I'm probably going that way.
Right?
I mean, if Hot Butcher builds out that place, people are going.
People would go.
I would go.
I still like, I almost never get Hot Butcher because I never see it. Mm-hmm. So I don't even, they often don't exist in my mind.
I see that.
So I feel like they are a beer nerd kind of beer, and they're like not there for the masses. So when they have them, they're good, but they don't even, they could be in, I don't know, Iowa for all I know. Like they're not here. But so if you build it, maybe they'll come. But Beaver Park's dead now. Like,
well, and that was part of their issue too, right? Like little foot traffic. Right. It's like an actual, it's not an industrial park like Three Floyds or like where do we go? Or, you know, Schiller Park or some of these places we go, right?
Mm-hmm. Without the Chicago Fire, I don't know what's that, Toyota Park?
Bedford Park's like an entire neighborhood of industrial parks. Right. It's just like a very odd setup.
So what's Toyota Park going to be used for? Concerts are completely gone for at least another year. So that whole stadium is gone. And maybe people went to the Fire game and went to Five Rabbit, maybe not.
I mean, there's a good chance because this is a big stadium. Like 8,000, 10,000.
Might have went or before or after. There's no reason to go. You can't go to Toyota Park. Nothing there. Why would you go to Bedford Park?
It's really far off the path. No matter what your path is, even if I was downtown, like I said this before, I went to Chicago Open Air. It was a metal festival out there. And just going from downtown, I had to stop and take a nap. Like,
also always traffic getting to on 55.
That's what I'm saying.
Somewhere in that, like, for some reason, it's always like back up there. It's like, why? Where? What?
It's a tough play. I mean, the Pilsen thing. Well, then I think they eventually figured out that Pilsen should have been the anchor, because they were going for this thing in Pilsen, like, what, last year, right?
Right, and they are a Mexican brewery. Like, that's their image, and they, I don't know, they didn't want to, like, go for it. I feel like they, like, wanted to be that, but they didn't want to, like, get that audience.
There was something, well, there were the two guys, right? One of them, the one that fell out with them that ended up, like, leaving, he had some issues there, like, some accusations, right? Something, I forget exactly what, so I don't, but anyway, he split, and then he went and started Octopi up in Wisconsin.
Oh, right.
Right, which is, and, oh, fuck, well, where was I going with that? I was going to say, oh, but they were Costa Rican. One guy was Costa Rican, and then the other guy was, he was from South America somewhere, but then they, one of the guys had experience brewing at, like, a big brewery in South America.
Mm, okay, that's all right,
So they, oh, but yeah, but what, to your point, they weren't interested in competing with like Tecate or fucking Modelo or Corona or none of that shit. It totally made sense to have the Five Rabbit, the beer. They had a beer called Five Rabbit. It was a golden ale. Man. It was pretty good. It was pale ale, right?
Yeah. And it was good.
I mean, but you put that in 30 packs, and that's just a Tecate, and it's game over, right? Like, you're fucking, I'm going to get that, right?
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you, like, look at Metro, $10 six pack. It's a little more than maybe, like, a Budweiser type products, but it's craft beer. You're trying to get that audience that likes that style of beer to come over and drink a little better beer that's better quality, better ingredients.
Yeah, and if you've got, you know, your base in Pilsen or even out Southwest, you know, there's some predominantly Latino communities out Southwest, like off 55. Like, either of those locations, you're pulling people in because there's such a large Latino population in Chicago.
Say, people that buy a 30-pack are often going for, like, price point.
That's
where you're buying 30. You gotta it's a little more, but somebody might be like, I want to look like I have a little more money. That was what, I feel like craft beer helped. Like, I just want to look like I'm a little more sophisticated, or I have a better palate.
And
you show up with that. But they didn't want to do that.
They had no interest in, like, the lowest common denominator Latin beers.
Right.
The ones we just named. They had no interest in those. They were interested in, like, you're just like Off Color in the beginning. We're going to fucking Hop Leaf, you know, we're going to Bangers and Lace. We're going to these nerd bars, and this is where we want to be. I get that. But if you're Five Rabbit, you have a chance to have an impact that reaches further in these areas than say an Off Color does.
Right. And you could have pulled
this is good, man. I'm opening another one, man.
Yeah, go for it. You could have pulled people that weren't even into craft beer. You could have been there.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
You could have been there, Goose Island.
Yeah.
Like, for a lot of people in Chicago, Goose Island got them into craft beer. Five Rabbit could have got a lot of the Latinx community into craft beer.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have, like, Goose is not going to do that. They can't. They don't know how. They're just not there.
And, you know, I'm not Latino, and I don't have a brewery, so, you know, that's
it's me from the sidelines. Like, you guys messed up, and I think I called it last year. I was like, Five Rabbit's gonna close.
Yeah,
they were number one on my list to shut down because they were fucking up.
Chingo Tupelo was a highlight for them, I think, at FOBAB, and the last time I was there, like a couple winters ago, I picked up the Yodo con Leche.
Okay.
Yeah. With the barrel-aged version of that, which was that won a couple times at FOBAB.
Right.
That was a highlight for them. And I tell you, man, the first time their launch party was at the Mexican Museum of History. It was like it was an art museum in Pilsen.
Okay.
And it was the first time I had ever been there. Yeah. And then they're breaking down all these flavors and breaking down, you know. Lager was popular, like the Tecates or Bohemias or whoever. All that shit's popular, but it's all like kind of ripoffs of European styles of beer. There's nothing particularly Mexican about Corona, right? It's a European beer that it happens to be popular in Mexico or whatever, right? But there's nothing Mexican about it, you know. So, but they were like, let's explore these flavors that actually exist in Mexican culture. Right. And that's what made them different. So, yeah.
And I think that's maybe something Cruz Blanco is with some of their beers they've done, and I think they've done a good job with as well as introducing non-Latin people to some of those flavors. That was kind of love them or hate them, Rick Bayless's kind of thing, like, is like introducing new people to these flavors.
Introducing the West Loop to $6 tacos.
Right.
I got a flavor for you. It's called That'll Be $6 for this fucking taco.
Yeah. Five Rabbit. I hope they're able to reemerge.
I hope to see them on the other side.
Burnt City style, kind of like, come out of this better and stronger.
Yeah. I will say this, man. Fucking 7-year run in Chicago. Hey, you hold your head high. There is nothing to be ashamed about after that run. That's a good run.
And yet John Hall is your brewery. Different John Hall.
You hold your head high after that run. So cheers to you, Fire Rabbit.
Yeah, cool. And then speaking of Burnt City, District Brew Yards is opening another location.
That's what they say, man.
Not in Chicago. They're going to Pittsburgh. So this was my thought with District Brew Yards all along was, it's not about the breweries. It's about this experience. It's about the concept. You couldn't replace all the breweries in there with anybody else, and it's still District Brew Yards.
When you say it like that, you're right.
So, and they are proving that concept as they go to Pittsburgh. And they, as far as the press release or the news release of this, none of the breweries are going with them, right? Like, you're not seeing Burnt City or Around the Bend or Bulldog go. Casa Humilde.
Yeah. This is a smart play if this pans out. So apparently, in Pittsburgh's Strip District Terminal. It's just north of downtown.
It's their Strip District.
Strip District Terminal, man. it sounds like it sounds like it's a 5-block facility that used to be home to like a Pennsylvania fruit auction. That's funny. Fucking Pennsylvania. That's where last week. That's where the lager place that sold.
Yingling?
Yeah, that's where Yingling's from fucking Pennsylvania. Yeah, it sounds like it's a 12,000 square feet. That's a smart play for the boys, because when you talk about Burnt City and before that Atlas, mm-hmm. I think they changed their name because some brewery in D.C. beat them to the patent or something, beat them to the naming rights.
Yeah, I think Atlas was first, but Atlas and D.C. had the patent.
Yeah, and then Burnt City. And then, you know, they were on the south side at the old Jays facility.
That's right.
They shut that down, right? And opened this multi-brewery, whatever you call that type of license thing, you know, which extended the brewing district essentially. Really smart play. Got some good food there. Oh, but then the concept is like, the recipes are all individual for the breweries, but I think Burnt City's like brewing all the beers.
Master.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Although they collaborate or make sure they're kind of like on brand with whatever the brewery is.
Yeah.
You could, if you line all four of them up, they're going to taste very similar. They're all using.
There's like a certain standard, right? Yeah. And then, but Burnt City's kind of, it's almost like the Burnt City Invitational. I think it's Burnt City's idea, and Burnt City said, hey, come party with us. Mm-hmm. Come share this home with us. And it sounds like they're doing that in another city.
That's great. As we're seeing places close, they're like, we're going to open up a new spot. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Good job by them. What else we got, Brad?
Anything else? I feel like that might be it.
Okay.
Did you see, was there anything else pop up in your feed, in your news?
Oh, man. We talked about Off Color. They're selling this, the lightweight hoodie. It's the Black Lives Matter hoodie.
Yeah.
They've donated over $9,000. So it's black on black, and then it's like a super thin. Not yet. I'm thinking about pulling a trigger. It was out of stock for a long time.
Hoodie season's coming up.
Dude, nothing like a hoodie. I could still wear these cargo shorts if I got a little scarf and a hoodie.
So you go warm top, warm bottom?
I got no hair, man. I got to stay warm, man. My legs are fine. the Black Lives Matter hoodie is back in stock at Fire Rabbit. You know, the 12 Bars of Christmas is an annual tradition here in Chicago where all these assholes.
This is different than is this Santa, the one where, why am I forgetting? The one that happens in Rayleighville with all the Santas.
Is there a T-Box for Santas
T-box,
too?
T-Box. Is this T-Box?
This is T-Box.
Oh, this is T-Box. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that one. So.
I didn't know it was called 12 Bars of Christmas.
That's T-Box. That's what it stands for.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, that makes sense.
So the city of Chicago denied a permit for Wrigleyville's notorious Christmas-themed bar crawl. So
those fools are still going to do it. Dude. Okay. Heck, you can't stop people.
What were we saying, man? I'm telling you, I went to Big Star this weekend, and every bar over there, there's no 6 feet in my ass. There is nothing 6 feet going on out here. No. This will probably happen with or without city permission. 24 straight years of this bar crawl have existed, Brad. Dude, what's the ABV on this shit, man? I feel like I got a good little lather going here, Brad. Oh man, it's not even on here. God damn it.
Yeah, it's not. That's gotta be around like 6.
Live long and lager. That's definitely Tracy Hurst right there. She's a fucking Klingon. She's a Klingon all day.
It's gonna be like 5.8.
I gotta stop spilling on the table. Oh, but yeah, 12 bars of Christmas, where everyone dresses up in Santa stuff and ugly sweaters. They were denied an application to party. So that was the news.
Poor T-Box.
Yeah. So they charge $40 a head, and then you hit up 12 bars.
Okay. So glad to see that die. That's a, if anything good happens out of COVID, it will be the end of T-Box. All right. Should we end it there?
That sounds good, man.
All right. Nick, where can people get in touch? Find out what you're up to when you're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram. We're sucking on all those. We'll get better. But all the episodes go up on ChicagoBeerPass.com. And we'll be back with our full leaders next week. Take care.
Cheers.